You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Digital currencies have quickly become one of the most exciting ways to accumulate and spend money. December of 2017 marked the peak of Bitcoin fever. Everyone was talking about cryptocurrencies, telling you how to buy, sell, or hold them, with new cryptos coming out weekly. Facebook's announcement of their new crypto Libra has reignited that flame. I spoke to FinTech NZ's James Brown about how the Libra currency will put New Zealand on the verge of a cataclysmic change in the way Kiwis think about financial services. What is Facebook's Libra currency?
So Facebook have decided to put their toe into the water. We were actually waiting on this, to be quite honest. Because of the disruption in the financial services sector, we were waiting on one of the big players, and clearly Facebook have decided to take the lead on this. The thing is, and what we've got to bear in mind, is that they haven't actually done this on their own. They've actually partnered with another 28 significant global players. So what actually is it? It's going to be another platform for using and accepting payments. And I think the thing to note here is actually that it is going to be built on the blockchain. And one may have reminded themselves of some of the issues that Facebook in the past have dealt with themselves around privacy. So one sort of would ask the question around, well, how is this actually going to work when the fact that Facebook has so many data points actually on us? Because it is built on the blockchain and it's going to be public, then everybody sort of technically actually will get to see it. So each transaction will actually be very transparent. And I think that's one of the things that we've got to consider is a major leap forward. Because when we've looked at some of the issues coming out of like the likes of the Royal Commission, and more recently and closer to home, the RBNZ and the FMA review of the financial services sector here, having the ability to make global payments and also actually with very minimal, if not no fees, around the world on a transparent platform that is actually overseen by not only Facebook, but by a multitude of others, is a massive leap forward in the way that we think about financial services.
How safe is it?
Well, that's also the beauty as well. I mean, if we go back maybe 12 or 18 months, there will be a number of people that will remind themselves of, you know, the sort of blockchain, cryptocurrency, IPO situation that we had. What we've got to do, though, is actually split those three things down. So blockchain is the platform, crypto is a new asset class, and IPO is obviously a capital raise. So we've got to sort of be mindful that when we talk about these things, that we don't just badge them all or lump them all together. They're very different things. So the blockchain is actually what I would call the platform that we will actually utilize Libra. Crypto, if we think about crypto just as digital cash, I mean, that's probably one of the easier ways to think about it. So at the moment, we've got many forms. We've got checks, albeit they will certainly be removed from society very, very shortly. We've clearly got cash in the form of coins and in notes. And more recently, we've gone into that sort of digital wallet. So we can scan our card, we can have it on our phone, and we can make payments. And we do have other things as well, you know, our phones. We've got payment rings. And there's other things that are coming out into the marketplace. So this is just an expansion of that. So if we think about, we pay by our card or our phone, we don't physically touch or handle money. And it's the same with crypto. It's sort of in that digital ether that clearly actually has a value. And the thing to bear in mind around what Facebook are preparing to launch, obviously, next year, is it will be much more stable than some of the other cryptocurrencies that we've actually seen previously because of the way that they're actually going to build it out. So I think that's very important for us to sort of bear in mind that we won't see the highs and the lows that we've potentially seen in the past with things like Bitcoin.
How will Libra's introduction affect New Zealand banking services?
Well, there's been a lot of talk, not only in New Zealand, but in the UK and also in Australia, with this phraseology. I'm sure you and your listeners have heard of open banking, getting the banks to open up, share their data to create a more competitive landscape, more transparency, and to sort of bring other players into this space. So what will it mean to New Zealand banks? Well, we're not quite there yet in even actually discussing open banking really as a thing. So we've got to be careful that actually this new technology could supersede this. So although we might actually be looking at the UK and what they're doing in terms of open banking, and let's be honest, the banks there have been dragging their feet. We're about to go live in Australia, whereas this launching early next year could supersede that and dramatically change the way that we actually deal and interact with financial services in this country. So it's got huge ramifications, and I think this is one to absolutely watch. And certainly if I was in government right now, I would be paying a close attention to the potential impacts and also actually gathering potentially all the banks together to actually think about the financial stability of our sector here in New Zealand, and are we in a position to really accelerate our views and our thoughts about opening up our data to allow much more collaboration between incumbents, the large organisations, and the more agile fintechs that we do have here in New Zealand.
How accessible is the platform? Because when I think about it, it just seems like it's only really for people with kind of smartphones and an internet connection. So will the platform be able to accommodate for people who don't necessarily have, you know, constant access to that?
Yeah, I mean, if you think, I mean, initially they would say that they are looking at the unbanked, and I think the figures at the moment are about 1.7 billion. What we've also got to consider is that we are far more connected now than we have ever been, you know, and that's in New Zealand, but ultimately around the globe. So what we're actually seeing is the sort of the transition away from, let's call it, analog technology in our phones to even basic smartphones has increased tremendously. So I don't think it will just be a them and us in terms of the unbanked and the banked. I think what we'll start to see is a migration towards this type of platform, because the fee structure that they are suggesting will mean that anybody travelling around the world, sending money home, making payments, the impact back to them is going to be very minimal. And it's also going to be speed, you know, the ability to actually do things very quickly, and also actually that they will be very comfortable that if they do actually put their money across to send it home to, if we're in New Zealand, to someone in, I don't know, the UK, that it is actually going to get there as well. And thinking about other countries around the world where that has been sometimes an issue, potentially in Africa and places like that, this will actually solve a lot of those problems.
What kind of strategies would you recommend to banks to accommodate for Libra?
Well, I'd probably take maybe a step back initially. What we're very good in this country is focusing, or having a very clear focus and strategy around, you know, our primary industry, you know, our tourism. It generates an awful lot of economic growth potential. So what I'd like to see is actually as an industry, with and in conjunction with government, that we actually define a very clear strategy around fintech. And what that actually looks like in this country. And by doing that, what we'll do is we'll encourage the large organizations, the banks, to come together to create some industry standards around engagement with these fintechs, and also industry standards around things like AML and KYC. So really making it easy for our customers to be onboarded and actually allowing them to sort of pick and choose the financial products that they want to utilize more from more than one provider, which I think will also be good. And then looking at the sort of the regulation and the policy that's already in place, and is it fit for purpose for economic growth? When we look at other jurisdictions around the world, for example, close to home, Singapore, or even actually the UK, the growth that they're actually seeing in the sector is phenomenal. And if you actually look at the number of jobs that are being created between, if we think about traditional banking and then fintech, in the UK it's growing, I think, roughly about 300% faster than the traditional banking roles. So we're seeing this new technology, this new ability to create jobs that haven't necessarily been there before. And you may have seen, some of your listeners I'm sure would have seen, that the Prime Minister in the UK on the first day of Tech Week in London allocated a further £1.2 billion, which is roughly about 2.5 billion New Zealand dollars, towards and support the fintech sector within the UK. So that tells me that, you know, not only have they seen some fantastic results, they're actually looking to keep that position as recognised as the number one fintech hub in the world. And that's the type of thing that Singapore has been doing as well. And more recently, actually, we're seeing Hong Kong also get on board. So we're a little bit behind the eight ball, but we are a small country. We're fairly agile in the way we think. But if we want to get ahead of this, we're going to have to sit down, government and industry, and we're all going to have a fairly open mind that the framework that we should be adopting moving forward is going to be very different to the way that we've dealt and interacted with financial services previously.
Before I let you go, do you have any final thoughts on Libra and how it will affect banking here in New Zealand?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to one of your previous questions around the sort of the reach and the connectivity, you know, we have got a number of regions here in New Zealand that are a little bit more remote and geographically challenged. So if those individuals in those communities actually do have even the most basic of smartphones, they become a potential customer for Libra when it's launched next year. And potentially, actually, the banking or the traditional banking sector hasn't been able to actually provide, you know, that type of service to those types of individuals. So I think that we'll definitely see a transition fairly quickly onto this new platform. And I think the other thing to consider as well, in New Zealand at the moment, we are a fairly wealthy, aging population. And, you know, mum and dad and gran and granddad probably wouldn't migrate necessarily onto this platform. But when that wealth transitions, and it will fairly shortly, and, it, you know, what we've also got to bear in mind, it may not indeed transition to the kids because we're living that little bit longer. It may indeed actually transition down to the grandkids. And they're asking some very different questions of their you know, financial services sector in terms of this transparency, trust, competitiveness, and actually, you know, from what I'm paying for, am I getting value for dollar? So, you know, that's why I like to use this word of sort of cataclysmic, because it's not going to potentially just be this easy transition into. It really could change, and it could change very quickly.
Thank you very much for your time, James.
Really good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.